This is the November 8 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists for the day include Joe Jansen from the University of Illinois, Sherman Newland from Risk Management Commodities, and Danny Poff from Strategic Farm Marketing. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Online today, you can find it at willag.org, willag.org, the program to listen to in its entirety, and a way to register for the December Farm Doc conferences held across the state of Illinois. Joe Jansen, let's begin with you from University of Illinois, agricultural economist. Not long after you reviewed the numbers we talked, what was it that you found of most interest from the crop production and WASDE report in November?
Probably the reductions in yield estimates for the U.S., particularly the soybean yield estimate, which came in below even the lowest analyst expectations. That kind of put some juice into the soybean market this morning. We see prices rose about 15 cents when the report came out, sort of showing that the soybean supply and demand situation might be a little bit tighter than we thought.
And so clearly USDA was able to pick up on the August weather, the dry conditions, and what that meant, particularly with, I suppose, the very dry moisture content in the soybeans, maybe, or is it just the weather?
I think that's right. It's a combination of all of that dryness, both, maybe reducing some of the yield potential of that crop and then bringing it in extremely dry. And kind of, again, dropping maybe a bushel or two there as well.
Soybean yields were down across the bulk of the Midwest, with the exception of Indiana. It was up 3.3 bushels, rather 3.3 percentage points month over month to 62 bushels to the acre. Illinois down 3% to 65 bushels to the acre. Iowa down 4.7% to 61 bushels to the acre. Wisconsin down 7.5%, and Missouri down 7.8%. What does this tell you about the price of soybeans in the future?
I think we'll see a little bit of support here, but the export picture will really kind of be the main driver going forward. We've seen a lot of strength in corn exports in the last month or so, not quite as much on the bean side. And so the attention will really turn to sort of like how much of this U.S. soybean crop can we move before we really solidify the production picture down in Brazil. The WASDE report today didn't really give us anything new to speak of regarding estimates of Argentine or Brazil corn and soybean production.
When you put it all together and you take a look at the ending stocks number for soybeans, those reduced yields caused a 80 million bushel drop in ending stocks, now 470 million instead of 550 million, but did not change USDA's cash price projection of $10.80.
Yeah, that cash price projection, I think, given the values that we've seen here at harvest, is still rather high. I mean, I'm looking at the quantity numbers and really saying, like, yes, I think this is going to underpin prices, cash prices that we're seeing on the ground. And hopefully if we can get some good export movement, cash prices here in the country, that ending stocks number really is kind of the key, that we're down now below 500 million bushels again, as we have been in the last few years. That kind of gives a little bit more support to the soybean market.
USDA uses current trade policy and current prices, I think both, to understand what it expects the cash price should be. Are you of a mind that it remains too high at this point?
Time will tell. I try not to get too wrapped up in that season average price forecast, in part because it represents both sort of estimates of prices throughout the marketing year. I think we still are seeing sort of in some incentive to carry beans out into the latter part of this marketing year. That'll help kind of, in that averaging process that determines the season average price. But given what we've seen thus far, we're sort of putting in numbers that would be, substantially below a 1080 cash price average.
When you take a look at the S&D table for corn, what changes were made this month?
So we did drop U.S. corn yields slightly. That was maybe a bit more than expected. USDA was at 183.8. They dropped that by 0.7 bushels per acre. The trade was really expecting, a much smaller change. But in the end, the net effect on U.S. ending stocks was right in line with expectations.
Yeah, so production dropped 60 million bushels on that 183.1 bushel to the acre yield. Ending stocks were down one more million bushel than that at 1938 or 1.938 billion. Any numbers that you disagree with?
Not really. I think the corn picture is sort of right in line with expectations. We thought that we might see some reductions in U.S. production. We're seeing that. The export number stays the same. That is going to be something to really watch. We've seen an extremely aggressive export sales pace in the last months for corn. We're possibly on track to certainly exceed where USDA's expectations are set right now. But I think we're a lot of the trade saying that, we don't expect this pace to keep up the way it's been going all the way through the remainder of the marketing year.
Why is that the case and what's been driving it?
I think it's kind of a case of, buy when you can, not when you have to. Prices have been reasonable and nearby futures hovering in that $4 to $4.50 range. That's a reasonably attractive price. And there's been sort of some production issues in other parts of the world that have really made kind of U.S. corn the go-to market if we're looking to import corn. We've seen big sales to Mexico. We tend to have an advantage in that market just given our geographic proximity.
On logistics, can you talk maybe a little bit about what difference it makes when the river Mississippi, the Illinois, the Ohio are very low and have issues as opposed to the last few days when it's now come back up because of recent rainfall and looks like it is likely to stay that way for some time?
Yeah, we hope that's the case because essentially what happens is it gets more difficult to ship grain down the river because of restrictions on the size of tows and the draft limits on how full barges can be loaded. That tends to widen out the spread between values at the Gulf and values here inland. So we have seen that, but we've kind of been hovering on a bit of a knife edge. If the water levels got much worse, we'd see pretty dramatic restrictions on shipping. We seem to be moving out of that and moving into a period where, the water levels in the river get replenished and we can get good movement to export markets.
It appears the temperatures will stay fairly constant and higher above normal levels for some time. That's no guarantee that in the month of December things won't change quickly and rapidly. Does having the river system open further up into the upper Mississippi Valley make a difference for exports year in and year out? Can you see that somewhere in the numbers at all?
I don't sort of have a data-driven story to tell you there. I mean, obviously, yeah, we want to see river levels conducive to shipping all the way up to the upper reaches of the Mississippi. That's going to help, especially in periods where we have good production here right in the middle of the country. There's grain that needs to move. We want to move it at lowest cost, and that tends to be by barge.
Joe Jansen is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Our thanks to him. We talked to him not long after the report had been released. Sherman Newland is now here. He is with Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Hi, Sherman. Thanks for being with us. First, let's check in with you as it's related to the farm there. How did your yields end up and how far along did you get in your fall tillage and or nitrogen application and those sorts of things?
Right. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Early in July and August, I thought maybe we're going to have some pretty good yields. They were good. They just weren't record breaking. We just did not get the rain one in June. Then we did not get much rain in August. And then it got really hot towards the end of August and didn't have any rain for quite some time. So the beans didn't finish off well. They were good again, but not too many records at all around. And that's been the general consensus from people I talk to in our area. Good, but not great, right? Corn, same way. Good, but maybe not the record-breaking yields, you know, a lot of part of the state saw, you know, I think from central Illinois up into southeastern Iowa, I think they saw some tremendous yields. But you know, we just didn't get it. Tillage work, we got all our fall tillage work done that we want to do for the most part, doing some spraying right today, some fall spraying and whatnot. We're too far south, Todd, to put any ammonia on, basically.
I knew that when I asked.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of that. But anyway, but yeah, getting along pretty well with what we need to be doing.
What'd you think of today's USDA report?
Not really shocked by the reduction in soybeans. I'm glad to see it, you know, and then the drop in the carryout helped. You know, we had a nice spike right afterwards, but the trade faded it. You know, just from, you know, our experiences farming for so many years, I mean, when you cut beans that are 8 or 9%, and you heard that a lot, even up in Iowa, you know, you're going to get some yield reductions. You about have to. So not surprised by the bean number. The corn number, I was hoping for a little bit more reduction. I think we'll see a more reduction than that January number. But they didn't change the export number either. But we've been having some really good corn exports, and they didn't change exports on corn at all. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but maybe down the road. Maybe we'll see that, you know, come January. But as you know, we've been exporting a lot of corn. Now, whether that's been front running because of the, you know, the election or whatnot and possible tariffs, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But we're well ahead of schedule from our pace from last year's numbers at this time.
You're happy enough with the drop in soybeans? You think they captured most or all of it this month, and farmers won't show them more when they do their surveys in December for that final figure?
You know, that was a big reduction. I think Karen Braun said it was probably one of the biggest reductions in the last 30 years. So I think if they reduce it more in January, I don't know if I'd see a whole lot more, right? Because they took a big chunk out of it this time around. So I think, you know, now we're going to go back to see, do we see exports, you know, more flash sales like we've been seeing? You know, what's the weather going to look like in South America? It still feels like we're kind of range bound, right? So until we know more information, and this is the last, you know, report we're going to have till January. So we'll just have to see. I think farmers are pretty well locked up or done selling what they want to sell. And you know, you couple that on top of a basis improvement, and whether it's soybeans or corn, they both have improved pretty significantly for our area. It's pretty quick after harvest. So it tells you, you know, end users are going to be looking for corn, and there's demand out there for it right now.
You know, I just looked across the changes, percent change from previous month, and I was just floored that Oklahoma, I'm not a bean, soybean, big soybean state, down 20% from month over month,
okay.
Which is a huge drop. So Karen's probably really pretty close to correct. Her numbers are always right, so I'm sure she is correct. Okay, so we've got all these numbers in the bag. What should farmers be thinking about the grain that they now have stored?
Like today, right? We had a nice pop in stuff, maybe have some orders in to take advantage of those with interest rates where they are, you know, whether you got to pay down interest rates. I think making some cash sales, you know, and either putting that money in on interest or something is something I definitely take a long, hard look at. But I do think we got some window in here where it's between now and the end of the year that we can, you know, get prices to move a little bit higher, especially if we keep up this export pace. Because Trump, you know, a president doesn't take office until January. So we got quite a few days here left in the calendar where, you know, more countries may come and start buying before he takes office in case tariffs do come around. Right.
Yeah. So if you have it in the bin, or particularly if you have it in the elevator, go ahead and pull the trigger then on some of these times when we get rallies.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I mean, the market's rallied a decent amount. I mean, we are pushing up technically above, quite a few moving averages, and we're starting to push towards, I thought maybe this morning, that we have a 200-day moving average on DC corn at 442. I thought maybe we got, that's our next target, basically, in my mind, where we could get to. Much higher than that, we're going to have to see something else develop. Same way with soybeans, we still got a big carryout, 470 million bushels, what they pegged it at. South America is looking like it's hitting really well with the rain right now, and going to probably produce a huge crop unless something changes. So, we're just kind of left here to, on exports and weather in South America. So we're kind of range bound. But I mean, the funds, I mean, if you look at their positions, they're not really, leaning hard one way or the other. So they're not in there to sway us much yet. But yeah, I think we have a window, like I said, to get some sales made. I think guys need to take a good long, hard look at it.
USDA earlier in the week releasing its projections for next year for the first set. These are the unofficial official numbers to begin with. 92 million acres of corn, they say, maybe next year. 90.7 million this year for soybeans acreage projected to fall to 85 million. That's down from the 87.1 that they have for this year. What do you think of those figures?
I mean, not surprising, right? I mean, I think the reduction in bean acres is big for sure, and maybe warranted where the way the prices are. And, I think guys are still going to plant corn. I mean, most guys are going to stay in the rotation, so I'm not overly surprised. I think maybe 2 million acreage jump in corn may be a little excessive because, inputs aren't really coming down a whole lot. But time will tell. I mean, there's a lot can happen between now and planting time. It'd be nice to see something. I mean, to get a huge jump in prices, I think, you need some sort of change in government policy, whether it's biofuels or ethanol blends or something like that. And, something like that would ever come around, I think you could open the door up to, quite a bit higher prices. But all we can do is hope for that, right?
Anything else on your mind for the day?
It's been a wild week. We knew it was going to be a wild week with the election. I mean, you had a huge move in the stock market this week. That was nice to see. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. I know guys are finishing up, getting things done, getting stuff put away. I just don't forget about watching the markets. And, like I said this morning, take advantage of these little pops in the rally in the market and make some sales.
That's Sherman Newland. He is with Risk Management Commodities out of Hudsonville, Illinois. Let's turn our attention to Danny Poff now. He's at Strategic Farm Marketing here in Champaign County. Hi, Danny. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, glad to be here, Todd. Sometimes during the work week, you're kind of searching for headlines, looking for, storylines, and that wasn't the case this week. There's a lot to unpack this week.
Yeah, there are. Sherman mentioned as we were wrapping up with him, but didn't talk at all about it very much. A couple of other things that took place. One, we had new rallies in the stock market, and two, we had the Federal Reserve cut interest rates by 0.25%. What do each of those things mean to you?
Well, like you said, the Fed did cut 25 basis points yesterday. It was widely expected. You do kind of wonder, what that means for commodities, as if some guys think inflation may come back here, especially with, potentially Trump policy, maybe inflationary, that needs to be determined. But, some of these index guys and money managers, maybe some money needs to be, allocated into the commodity space. And that could be a little bit of a tailwind helping commodities potentially down the road. But you mentioned it, the stock market's been absolutely on fire, led by maybe more of a business-friendly environment, but lots to unpack this week, like I said, at the jump.
Earlier in your career, you worked within the cash grain segment at the Elevator Systems. Can you talk to me about what you saw this fall, how elevators have been handling the size of the crops, and what that might mean, generally speaking, as to logistics and the movement of the crop throughout the coming rest of the marketing year.
Well, I really commend the elevator folks, because it was a tough fall for them as far as the size of the crop, the pace of the crop, a very, very dry fall. If I'm not mistaken, our third super dry fall in a row here locally. So those folks just, you know, hardly can't catch a break as far as, you know, drying corn and on the front end of harvest. And then just when you can hop in the combine every day of harvest and just go every day, there's just no reprieve and to get a break to load trains, to fill ground piles, tarp ground piles, things like that. I would always joke, you kind of need a day somewhere in there at least to do laundry, because it is such a mad dash, and you don't have any rain delays. That's tough on those guys. So we did see that pressure basis a little bit, but not as much as you might guess. I was really impressed with how the pipeline absorbed a pretty large crop. And this might be a good segue, Todd, into what we saw here on the USDA report. Main headline here is a little bit of a smaller soybean crop, Todd.
Yeah, so tell me about that and what your assessment might be.
Well, I guess I kind of just agree with it based on all my clients and what I heard all fall. In the beginning of harvest, the April planted beans were really impressive. Some in the mid 80s, even low 90s. But when you tally it all up, you know, with the May planted beans, even to early June planted beans, they weren't quite as good. I'm not saying they were poor or a bad crop, but that those big yields really got a lot of attention. I had lots of clients kind of hanging their head, and I really had explained to them that by the time you average it out whole farm, that certainly is not the experience. And so what we saw here is USDA trimmed the yield substantially here, October to November, to 51.7. That's down 2.6 bushels on the national level. And nearly every state here, Todd, is trimmed. Illinois down 3, Iowa down 4.7, Missouri down 7.8, Wisconsin down 7.5. That yield month over month really got trimmed. A big part of that potentially, well, number one, later planted beans just didn't fare as well in my experience. And number two, man, they were dry. You're talking 8-9% moisture beans. That's just not great for yield.
Yeah, I will make note here, because I mentioned all those changes earlier in this conversation when I was talking with Joe Jansen, and I probably put bushels behind it, which is what most people think. It's actually a month over month percent change. So the numbers aren't quite as big as you think, but they're still large changes, because those percent changes are really pretty darn good sized at this point. And I do have a secondary question about it. The end of the season dryness, particularly in moisture, you talked about the beans not being as good. Was it both the moisture content, which probably dropped yields some, and that the beans just weren't as good, even if they did have the moisture content?
Yeah, I think both. I think it pretty commonly, and thank you for catching me on that percent change, they weren't quite as drastic, to your point.
Well, I caught myself before, yeah. I caught you.
Well, you know, this comes off hot off the press 1 hour ago, so we're all kind of flying by the seat of our pants. But yeah, two things. Really, the moisture content not helping, weight, you know, with that natural overshrink. But commonly, 10, even 15 bushel difference on early planted beans versus later planted beans this year. And that trend has been really, really going that direction, Todd, of get your beans in early instead of corn. Or you see some guys maybe split planters if they're running two planters. But it was a really clear, a lot of agronomists will tell you too, really clear difference in yield based on planting date.
What do you make of what producers should do given the new news that they have from today?
Well, I'll be real honest with you. The report's been out for a little over an hour here, and I'm running out of offers, Todd. I've had a lot of offers here today. We got to 430, 4.75, and that is really close to that recent contract high. So we found some resistance there. So I personally had a lot of offers there for clients right there. And then January beans, a little bit of tough trade action here today. We got as high as up 18, and right now we're only up a penny. So kind of tough trade action here today, but I've been an active seller here, and it kind of feels like a period of time where if you want some skin in the game, maybe we can do it cheaper with options.
And how would you do that?
Well, we've looked at lots of different ones here, but you know, I just don't like spending too much more than and then a dime or so here. Lots of different ways you can do that here, but let's look here. We were looking at March. If you looked at March, you could get upside through February, but you could buy a 460 call and give you, like I said, 3 months upside here for about a dime. That's just a naked option here. Not selling a call here to finance that. When you buy a call option like that, the most you can lose is the premium paid. So pretty low risk type of trade if you want upside.
Very busy this week. What do you see through the winter months? Do we head into the doldrums?
I don't know. Things weren't very boring last time Trump was in office. We all have to admit that. A boring administration, it was not. So we've seen really positive export demand, especially on corn here. So I'm interested to see what that looks like when Brazil kind of takes the baton over on beans in February. What does that mean? And also the big elephant in the room, what does it mean for trade with China? Did we reacted negatively with the market drop when Trump was winning Tuesday night? And it's mostly been positive firmer ever since. So China's economy is kind of in a tough situation over there. Just consumer sentiment is poor. They're trying to prop that thing up, and it's becoming increasingly clear, you know, can they afford a trade war with the U.S.?
Danny Poff is with Strategic Farm Marketing. That's sfarmmarketing.com online. Sherman Newland joined us for our Commodity Week program today as well. He's with Risk Management Commodities. That's with RM Commodities. That's RMC or rmcommodities.com. And of course, we were joined by Joe Jansen as well, an agricultural economist with the Farm Doc team here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Speaking of that team, I'll be on the road with them in the month of December, and we sure hope you will join us. We'll kick off our winter meeting conference series with the Farm Assets Conference on Friday, December the 13th in Champaign at the I Hotel. The whole of the Farm Doc team will be there, and then they'll travel with me across the state the following week to Mount Vernon on the 16th of December, East Peoria on the 17th, and in DeKalb on the 18th. Well, there is a slight difference between the Farm Assets Conference and the Illinois Farm Economic Summits, which are the three in Mount Vernon, East Peoria, and DeKalb. All four of the events include all of the Farm Doc team members. However, the Farm Assets Conference, because it is on campus, will include the crop scientist. Eric Snodgrass will be there as well. He's with Conduit Ag. And we'll have a couple of other things that I think you'll find of interest. It's all on our website for you to register for today. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. The December Farm Doc team conferences are at the top of the page. If you go further down at willag.org, you'll find a calendar of events. And if you use the menu items within it, you'll find that there are in red a series of other events, including the Farmland Owners Conference. That's on November the 20th. First, that's the week of Thanksgiving. Also, the Greater Peoria Farm Show and a couple of other things you might find of interest. Those are in the calendar at willag.org. They show up in red, so if something's there in red, it's out of the ordinary. Those include the WASDE reports each and every month and other USDA reports for that matter. Thank you for joining us, by the way, today. You've been listening to Commodity Week from Illinois Public Media. Again, public radio for the farming world, online, on demand, anytime you'd like to listen to us at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.